as I'm sitting here and I'm looking at everyone, the one thing that I just wanted to share with everyone that's very impactful to me is the value of being thankful and what that's done in my life personally, as far as making sure the first thing that I do in the morning when I wake up is just start to thank God for everything in my life, the people that surround me, the people that I get to be with, the people that I get to meet throughout the day. And there's just, it's so vast, it's so much, to get that mood started right, sets the day and puts everything in motion for me. And I just really encourage everyone to do that on a daily basis. Sometimes you wake up, you don't really feel like doing that. Force yourself if you have to. Just make sure that you're replacing your thoughts if that's not your first thought. So, if you will, let's stand and worship.
praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness.
Pastor Buren said on Wednesday, he said a phrase that was a failure to thrive. And even just repeating that phrase feels like a kick in the chest. And I think at times we all have that feeling and we all have that diagnosis. And you have to remember that you can stand and you can go forward. The best is yet to come. And when you're called, when it's your turn, you have to rise. And that's what this song's all about.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more shame. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, down on my knees and rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my face shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more shame. I will rise.
been dealing with a lot of stuff, as does everyone, but I try not to let worry and anxieties and fears and all of that, you know, overcome me. And I just had an epiphany this morning. I was like, well, and I've heard this 1,000 times, if I just keep my eyes focused on the Lord, I won't have worry. And it's so difficult because I'm in the moment, I'm in that stressor or whatever it is, and I'm focused on it. What do I need to do? How do I fix it? But if I just automatically turn to Him, and I've heard this all my life, and if I just keep my focus on Him, then I won't have that worry, because it's either one or the other, right? It's either worry or peace, and I can't have both at one time. So, you know, it's just that that simplicity of it. It's not complicated. It's not some magic formula that we got to go buy a whole bunch of chaos for. It's just turning. It's just one simple step and just turning that way. And if you don't know what to say and you don't know what to pray, it's just, Lord, help. It's just that simple. And I love knowing that God doesn't have some big, giant, you know, complicated to figure out what we're supposed to do with all the stuff that's going on in our lives. It's just come to me and I will give you rest. Just follow Him. Fall into His arms. Amen.
The more I seek You, the more I find You, the more I find You, the more I love You. I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, feel Your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting in Your peace, it's overwhelming. Seek You,
Just praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that no matter what may come, God, that you're there, to provide us that peace and that assurance, Lord, that we can fall at your feet, Lord, and whenever we have troubles, God, that you are there, that no matter how many times we worry, you forgive, and you just always open up your heart, and you just pour out the blessings, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Jesus. We worship you. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good. Good playing, good singing, good worship. Appreciate you guys. How's everybody? Appreciate you too. Glad you're here. You know, I've never understood Labor Day weekend. Nobody labors, but they call it Labor Day weekend. And the only people who work are preachers on Labor Day weekend. I mean, it's amazing that we have to work, but it's not really work. We enjoy it. Mike Oliver told me something for years and years when he was here. Every time it got this time of year, he said, "Well, Buren, from now to the end of the year, pastoring is going to be easier than it's ever been the whole year long. Football season's here, and everybody's happy." And we took Liam and Jet to their first Georgia Bulldog football game yesterday and got them indoctrinated. They're true blue Georgia fans. They were before they went, but now they really are. Took Jet into the Bulldog store when we was leaving, and he got him a Georgia Bulldog jersey. And when, as soon as he came out of the store, he was taking off that old man and putting on the new. And all of a sudden, he was translated into a whole new realm of life. Yes. This is not part of the message this morning, but I want to read this scripture. It was fun watching John Henry and Liam's, Jet and Liam's response when the Bulldogs came out, you know. The band came out. They did more hooping and hollering in the beginning than any other time. They kind of got disenchanted. But when the band was on the field playing and when the Bulldogs come running out, oh, they just was enjoying that big time. And I thought about, while I was in praise and worship and they were singing those songs, I thought about this passage of scripture, and I just want to read it. He says, "Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessings. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under all in the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." Wow. Now, come on. That deserves at least a clap to the Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth. Wow, what's it going to be like one day when really and truly there's a new heaven and a new earth that's established here and everybody's happy? Everybody's happy. No more negativity. No more sorrow, no more pain. Next week is a great Sunday. I can't give you all the details. We may give you some later on during the week, but it's going to be a great Sunday. It's going to be a different Sunday, and we're going to sing all old hymns and old songs. If you like old hymns, then that's all we're going to sing next Sunday, and we're going to celebrate Christ and just have a big time. So encourage you to be here and bring somebody with you. Let's see. What else was I going to say? If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a thank you for being here. We welcome you. There's a cup. When you're going out the door, you'll see some cups there. Pick you one up and take it with you as our token of appreciation for you being here. And thank you, members, for stop stealing them. Y'all, we still have some. And so appreciate you leaving them for the visitors. All right, we're going to start a new series this morning. It's an old series we've done over the years. I think the last time we did it was in 2012. Over the years, I've titled this different things. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. We've called it that. We've called it the Constitution of the Kingdom because that's what it is. And we've called it Summit Living. Summit Living. A summit is something that when very few people ever reach, and people who do reach it, it's quite an achievement in their life. It gives them such a feeling of accomplishment and success because they reached a goal that they were after. And I want to use the Summit Living an analogy that God wants you to live a thriving, abundant life. We talked Wednesday night about a word that is used in the Psalms and used in Isaiah a lot, and it's called flourish. Flourish. It says that they who dwell in the courts of the Lord shall flourish. And flourish means to thrive. And there is a psychological diagnosis of people and that they just are diagnosed as failure to thrive, failure to be successful, failure to be happy, failure to live a superior advantaged life. And the reason they fail to do it is because of the outlook that they have on it. And they think that happiness is in what they have, or happiness is in what they can get and accumulate. And the fact of the matter is, here's the deal. Happiness dwells inside of you. It's the only place that it is. No one can make you happy. Your wife can't make you happy. Your husband can't make you happy. Your children can't make you happy. Matter of fact, they can make you very unhappy at times. The only person that can make you happy and make you joyful and make you have fulfillment in your life is you. And the way that you do, the only way you can do that is by how you live, how you think. It's what it's all about. I want to pull this scripture up in Isaiah chapter 35 in verses 8 through 9. And it says, "And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk in it." There is a road, there is a highway, and this is prophesied about Christ coming, and when Christ comes, that he would bring this new road, he would bring this new way of life, he'd bring this new highway, and in this new way of life, there's going to be no evil-minded people going to walk on it. There's no ferocious lions on it. In other words, there's no devil on that path. See, there's no devil there. You don't have a devil unless you want one. The Bible says that Jesus came and he destroyed the works of the devil. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we have this victory inside of us if we'll just cling to it, believe in it, and trust in it, that Jesus came to give me a superior advantage life. That's what it's all about, a joyful life. I just wrote this, and I want to introduce the sermon. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presented a whole new vision of life. He let every person know that there was another way, a better way, than the complicated ruts, rules, and regulations of the scribes and the Pharisees. In this sermon, we discover a new way to find a restored relationship with God. This, what Jesus, and I love what it said, that when Jesus got through with this short but powerful sermon, it's like reading the book of Proverbs. It's full of wisdom and just statement after statement. And when he got through talking, the Bible says that they said, "No man has ever taught or spoken with such authority." And Jesus said, at the end of it, he said, "If any man hears these sayings of mine and does them, he'll be like a man who built his house upon the rock. And when the winds come and the rains fall and the storms prevail against that house, it will not fall." But he that builds his house upon the sand, and the winds come and the rains fall and the storm rages against it, it will fall, and great will be the ruin of that house. And he said, all you have to do is hear these sayings of mine and do them. You see, obedience to God, walking in his ways, is the only way to have true life. It's the only way to truly enjoy a superior life, an advantage life, a better way. It's a great way. And it gets better and better and better. It gets better. It gets better. Life is not supposed to get worse. It's supposed to get better. I've got to jump over here and read this scripture. I was going to wait till the end. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord said. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth-Pur. But this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. Wow. We can either believe that or not believe that. We can believe we're getting old and decrepited, or we can believe we're getting old and better. You know, you just have to make a choice. And I think sometimes we say stuff we just ought not to say. We say things we just ought not to say. We believe things we ought not to believe. There's a better way. There's a better life. And Jesus came to give us that better life. Matter of fact, he did not like scribes and Pharisees' way of life at all. And all he kept telling, you've made it so difficult. He said, you stand at the door of the kingdom and you don't go in and you won't let anybody else in. Because of all your rules and all of your regulations. And he spent one time in Matthew 23, the whole chapter, he's saying, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You're not giving the people what you are. You've taken the life of the Spirit and the life of God. You've taken the law of God and you made it so difficult. There was only 10 and you got a zillion. And they had this whole book of laws and regulations that people tried. And they boasted about how superior they were. My brother years ago got mad at me and he called me a parasite. And I said, what do you mean a parasite? He said, no, one of those things Jesus called people. I said, that was a Pharisee. He said, yeah, you a Pharisee. I said, you know what, though? That's a good term, parasite, because a parasite likes to feed off of other people and suck the blood and the life out of them because they won't live one themselves. They just want to suck the life out of you. How many know there's people just will suck the life out of you if you let them? We just finished a series on relationships. And there are relationships that need to be restored. There are relationships that need to be nurtured. And there are relationships that need to be severed. Because you don't need relationships that sucking the life out of you. Now don't go home and tell your husband or your wife you heard what he said. That is not for that. So Jesus begins his sermon. The Bible says he goes up into a mount. Another book says he came down from the mount. And what it really was, there was this mountain, and on this mountain about halfway up, there was this huge plateau that hundreds and thousands of people could actually stand on. And Jesus goes up to the mountain. Then he comes down, and the Bible says he sat down, and he taught his disciples. He wasn't talking to the crowd. They were there, but he wasn't talking to them. Because he's only talking to those who are going to listen to him and hear what he has to say and do something about it. You see, this sermon's not for everybody. It's only for a true follower of Christ who wants to do what he says for us to do. And unless you're willing to say, God, teach me your ways. I want to walk on this highway of holiness where there's no devil and there's no evil-minded people. There's no negativity. There's no sorrow. There's none of this. I want to walk in that highway. John the Baptist said about Jesus, said he's coming. one greater than I is coming, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. He says, I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to baptize you with a life that is full of zeal, full of thriving. He's going to baptize you with a life that's superior than any other life you could possibly imagine. He wants you to have this advantage, superior life. He wants you to have it. He wants you to. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it just simply, as I heard some testimonies up here this morning, simply saying, I just had to change my mind about what I was thinking about. I just had to change my mind about what I was thinking. I had to stop telling myself I'm this and start telling myself I'm this. I've got to stop speaking that and start speaking this. I've got to stop thinking this and start thinking this. It's what it's all about. And so he says, blessed are people with this attitude. Blessed means happy. It means prosperous. It means to be envied. It means that you are filled with goodness. It's a Greek word, makarios. Always think of macarena. You know, it gives you that life. It is in these attitudes, this person contains within himself all that is necessary for an abundant life. Happy, blessed. Blessed. We say bless you when somebody sneezes. We need to say bless you all the time, not just when you sneeze. When I was in grammar school, we had this boy named Tommy Walker. And Tommy, if you hit him in the nose, you just tapped his nose like that, he would sneeze 14 times. Every time. I'm not exaggerating. He would sneeze exactly 14 times. We would count it. We'd sneak up behind him and tap him on the nose. Achoo! Achoo! 14 times. Finally, the teacher said, do you know that y'all going to kill him? We said, she scared the day. She said, you know your heart stops beating every time you sneeze? I said, oh, my gosh, we're going to kill Tommy. We got to stop. But you know what? He got a lot of blessings. Two, bless you. Two, bless you. 14 blessings every time you tapped him in the nose. We need to be blessing people in another way. Right? So it says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. What kind of poor? Poor people aren't happy. He's not talking about poor in what you have. He's talking about poor in understanding your spirit. That you realize that there is a better life. That you recognize your absolute poverty within yourself without Christ. It's emptying yourself of all desire to exercise personal self-will and to set aside your personal habits of thoughts and views and prejudices and present a way of life and thinking that you learn it anew. That you see that life is not good and this life is all good. Happy is the person who sees that. Happy is the person who Paul said in Colossians, who takes off the old man and puts on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and true righteousness. And you don't have true righteousness unless you have the knowledge of what is true righteousness. And the righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to get people to live was not the righteousness that Christ came to give. And so he says, blessed is the person who sees it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's not talking about a mourning over someone who's lost a loved one. That's a very appropriate grieving mourning. The scripture we just read about Moses, the Bible says that after he was buried, they mourned him for 30 days. That's a mourning that's natural. That's a mourning that we all will go through sometimes in some periods in our life, some one time, two times. You don't know how many times. But it's a mourning of death, a mourning of separation. This is not the mourning. It's a mourning that you really are sorry that you've not lived the life that you could live. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. It's not I'm sorry because I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. It's I'm sorry because I'm really sorry. A prodigal son came home with a godly sorrow. And I guarantee you, had he come home in any other attitude, had he walked up to his father and said, "Hey, I'm back. I'd like to have back everything I've had to start with. I'm back home." If he came with arrogance and pride and ego, I guarantee you his father would have had a different attitude. But he came and he said, "Make me just a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant because I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you." That moved the father. He said, "Oh no. Go kill the fatted calf, go get a robe, put on him, go get a ring and put on his finger, restore to him everything he had to start with because he's got the right attitude." He's got the right attitude. Attitude is everything. Attitude will determine your altitude. You're only going as high as your attitude is going to take you. Blessed are they that have godly sorrow. And it's not just mourning over your sins. It's mourning over a troubled world. You know, when I feel, I say this, and you said it a lot, I'm sure, but I've said this, I don't know how many times. I feel sorry for people who don't understand. I feel sorry for a church that has never risen above its proper place that God wants it to be and still lives a mundane, insignificant, boring life. They can only tell people what they can't do and doesn't tell them what they can do. Doesn't tell them how wonderful life can really be. I feel sorry for that. I weep inside when I see people who seems like you give them the same shot you give this person, but the vaccination just never takes. They get the same medicine. They get the same dose. They get the same word. They get the same care. They get the same love, but they just don't get it. Just don't get it. Blessed are the meek. Why? They're going to inherit the earth. They're going to inherit the earth. Now, meek is not this picture you see of Jesus with a little lamb in his hand and his sweet little cheeks and got him looking like he has no strength at all. He's just so meekness is strength under control. Meekness is the ability and the want to be led and guided in a good way. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. You ever studied the life of Moses? Was he meekity? No. He was strong. Meekity, that's a new word. I like that one. Meekity. No, he was meek. It's strength under control. He says they're going to inherit the earth. They're going to inherit the earth. Oh, I thought it was going to heaven. You are. You are. You don't have to go very far. But John said, I saw a new earth and I saw a new heaven descending out of heaven. And I saw a bride adorned as a glorious bride. And I heard a loud voice crying out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God, the home of God, is with men. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And there shall be no more pain nor sorrow, for all these things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are going to become new. Don't you like that? See, the church is trying to get to heaven, and God's trying to get to earth. That's a collision that doesn't need to happen. He's trying to get to earth, and the church is trying to get to heaven. He's been trying for 2,000 years since Christ died to get to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. No, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Bring earth, dang it, heaven to earth. That's why there are people who their loved ones are close by, because they know they're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And they're not in some far, far city, far, far away. Shrek, far, far away. They're here. They're all around us. They're cheering you on. If you could see what they see, you'd see a glorious earth filled with the glory of God. But if you'll stop listening to the news and stop listening to the radio and stop listening to what other people say about what's happening and start believing what God says, that you'll begin to believe that from Genesis to Book of Revelation, we win. I don't read the book of Revelation, say we win. I read Genesis 3:15. We win. And the seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. Whew. That we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation, distress, nay, and all these things, we're more than conquerors. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By my God, I have leaped over a wall, I have run through a troop. I cannot be defeated. If I'm in a prison cell at midnight, I'll sing praises to God and the prison doors will fling open. Didn't we throw three men in that furnace? Yep, but there's four now. And one looks like an angel. Because one was one. And the only thing that fire burned were the ropes that bound them. Oh, when I pass through the fire, I shall not be burned. The fiery trials that you're about to go through, Peter said, count it all joy. It's just going to burn off the ropes that's got you bound. That's the only trial you go through. The only fire you go through is to purify and glorify you, not to burn you up. Some people just got to have a hell. They just gotta have a hell. I heard this black preacher preach one time. What in hell do you want? What in hell do you want? Why do you want people to go to hell and burn forever and ever? Why do people want that? That just blows my mind. Why do people want other people to go to hell? Matter of fact, people will tell you to go to hell. They don't ever say, go to heaven. They say, go to hell. And when they tell you to go to hell, you know what they mean? Go to hell. They are upset and they're mad at you, and that's what they mean. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's scripture, by the way. I just quoted a scripture. I didn't make that up. Why do we want a hell? Why do we want a devil? Why do we do? I tell you why. I do know why. You want somebody to blame it on. You want somebody to blame it on. My daddy's tell the story of the devil sitting on the sidewalk, and he's crying. And a man come up to him and said, what's wrong, devil? Why are you crying? He said, everybody's doing all these bad stuff, blaming it on me, and I'm not getting to do any of it. I get all the blame, but he gets no glory. It's you. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to be the overcomer. We don't have to have that. Blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Now, when they said this, Jesus said this to this generation, to these people. These people knew what hunger and thirst was. A man would work all day in the field just to get enough food, enough money to buy enough food and enough water to quench his hunger and his thirst. The United States does not know what hunger and thirst is. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is walk around our cities, and most of the people are not hungry or thirsty. They're getting plenty to eat. Plenty to eat and plenty to drink. But have you ever really found yourself thirsty? I mean, there's probably not anything that... That desire is beyond just saying, I'm thirsty. It's like, if I don't get some water, I'm going to die. If I don't get some water, I'm going to die. If I don't get some food, I'm going to die. And that's what Jesus says about this kingdom life. You've got to hunger and thirst after it, like you're hungering and thirsting after the food and the drink that you're going to have. You know why some people can't listen on Sunday mornings? Because they're thinking about where they're going to eat. They're envisioning and imagining their lunch. Jesus said there's something better than that. There's a food that I can give you that's better than that. There's water that I'll give you that you'll never thirst again. It's something that I can give you that will satisfy you like nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing. The other day I walked at the worst time of day, and I know I was more thirsty than I can recall myself being, except as a little boy playing baseball all day long and then running up to this church and getting the hose pipe and drinking the water out of the faucet because we was about to perish. I was that way, and I was sweating, and this guy came up to me and had to talk to me for 30 minutes. And I go get my water out, and I drink it. And I mean, I was so thirsty. It was so good. And I couldn't wait till I got home to fill it back up to hydrate myself again. And if we would hunger and thirst after God, as a deer panteth for the water brook, oh God, so my soul pants after you. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. They'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know that Jesus said, if you don't show mercy, you're not going to get mercy. Amen. You know, it's amazing how bad we want mercy when we need it, and how sometimes we fail to give it when somebody else needs it. And that counts for your children, your husband, your wife, your relationships. Mercy. Mercy. Just give mercy. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream one day, and he was terrified. And they brought Daniel to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, this is going to happen to you. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. You will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to whomever, anyone he chooses. But then he says, your kingdom's going to be restored back to you. But it's going to be 7 years before it is. But when it is, you're going to be a different man. But then he gives him this word. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then, you will continue to prosper. Here is a man of God, a true spokesman for God, who tells a king, interprets the dream, exactly why God gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream. And he tells him, this is going to happen to you, Nebuchadnezzar. This is not for somebody else. This is for you. You're going to live like a wild man for 7 years. You're going to eat grass like a cow. The dew's going to fall on you every day. You're going to literally be on your hands and knees for 7 years like a cow. But this is what he's saying. I know God. If you'll just do what's right and start showing some mercy, perhaps the Lord will change his mind. And you know what? He will. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. There was a tribe, the 12 tribe of Israel, called Dan. Dan was unmerciful. When you read the 12 tribes of Israel again in the book of Revelation, Dan is replaced by Manasseh, which means causing to forget. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Wow. This may be the most powerful thing I'm going to say this morning. If you will look out to this creation, to this world, with purity, you'll see God. You'll see them over here, 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 and here. But if you're not seeing, if you're not having a pure motive and pure heart in yourself, you'll only see people as you see yourself. You'll see them the way you see you. Mean people see mean people. Adulterous people see adulterous people. Fornicators see fornicators. Liars see liars. Distrustful see distrustful people. But if you'll be pure in heart, you'll just see God. You'll just see God. Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. God, how many know God's called us to make peace? I've never heard it. I've heard this said, that's a troublemaker. You ever heard somebody call somebody? He's just a troublemaker. She's just a troublemaker. You ever heard somebody? They're just a peacemaker. They just make peace. What a wonderful word to say. What a wonderful blessing to say with somebody. They're just a peacemaker. Try to argue with them, they'll just be peaceful. They'll just bring peace. Nothing like peace. If you could bottle it up and sell it, you'd be a gazillionaire. But you can't do it. Can't bottle it up. It's already bottled. We just have to let it out. The Bible says, as much it lies within you, be at peace with all men. There's a few people in life, they're not at peace with me. But it ain't my fault. As much as lies within me, I've done everything I can do. And I can't do any more. That's all God's calling for you. As much as lies within you, be at peace with all men. Blessed, happy, prosperous, superior are the people. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Wow. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. You know, they knew a persecution we don't know anything about. The persecution we get is usually a persecution that comes along with discouragement of somebody trying to tell you what you're doing is not going to work. And I don't know about you, but that hurts. Somebody tells me I'm not going to achieve something. Somebody tells me I can't, I'm not going to make it. That's discouraging, isn't it? Somebody tells you their vision, your vision, your dream, your goal, oh, you'll never reach that. Let's just throw a little water on that fire. Just Barbara, years ago, 30 years, tried to find her nieces. 30 years. And I told her a week before she found them, give up. You'll never, ever find your nieces. Oh, Pastor Beard. She looked at me, she cried. Tears flowing down her face. She looked at me and she says, I'll never give up. She was persecuted for right, discouraged by me. I'll never give up. A week later, a friend tells her, you ever just went to Facebook? Finally pulled them up on Facebook, found both her nieces. And restored that family because she wouldn't give up and she wouldn't take the persecution that I was giving her, telling her she'll never get it, she'll never happen, it'll never happen, it'll never happen. It happened. And now she has a relationship with two nieces that think she is the whatever, queen of the universe. A relationship that she cherishes with all of her heart. Or a father who hadn't seen his kids in 30 years is reunited with his two daughters after 30 years. Because somebody said, you can persecute me all you want. I'm not giving up. You tell me it's not going to happen. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Blessed are you. Happy are you who don't give up. Because somebody's going to try to tell you to give up. Somebody's going to try to say it's not going to happen. Only thing I can tell you to do is do what Jesus did. I've got a destiny, and I'm headed to it. And I want you disciples to know I'm headed to it. And it's going to be a glorious thing for you. You won't understand it, but the outcome of it is going to be glorious. I want to go to a cross and I want to be crucified. Peter says, no, Lord, you're not going. Get behind me, Satan. You want to, Brother Rav calls it a nugget, a gold nugget. You want a gold nugget? Only God and only Satan, you got you. You're either God or you're Satan. You're giving out God, or you're being an adversary. Whew. God blesses those, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. As we prepare for communion, I want you to look at me. I want to tell you what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of heaven is. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is not far off. The kingdom of God is nigh thee, even at your hands, touch. And the kingdom of God is not this or that. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And here's the sad thing. The Bible says that we're born again so that we can see the kingdom. We're born again so we can see the kingdom. Then he says, there are those, though, who see the kingdom and they enter it. There are so many people in the church world who've been born again. They see the kingdom, but the kingdom's always out there. But he says, those who can see the kingdom, if you can see it, you can enter it. You can walk in it. And if you walk in the kingdom, you can inherit the kingdom. And that's what happens scripturally. We see it, we enter it, we inherit it. That's why the Bible says that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it lists a whole list of works of the flesh. It says, they that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean they won't go to heaven. You just won't have heaven here. You won't inherit the blessings of the kingdom. But he that heareth these things and doeth them will inherit the kingdom. You'll see it, you'll enter it, you'll inherit it. Some of you have sat week after week, and maybe you've sat for years, and you've seen the kingdom. You hear it about it, and your faith is enough that you can see it. It's like the children of Israel. I see the promised land. I see the grapes. I see the fruit, but I just can't get there. I just can't get there. You know what it took for the children of Israel to get there? Just walk there. Just go. Just go. And this is so simple, but it's so profound. All they had to do to inherit their kingdom, to enter their kingdom, all they had to do was walk. And whatever was in front of them that was hindering them from getting it just dissipated, disappeared. The River Jordan just stopped flowing. The Bible says it backed all the way up to Adam. Backed all the way up to cover everything and anything ever in your life. And he just walked across. Just walked across. If you will walk toward your kingdom, waters will dissipate. Waters will roll back. Life will open up. You will be amazed at what will happen as you walk toward your destiny. Wow. Let's stand together. Visiting with us, we welcome you to come and receive these elements and receive communion with us. song's been out for years and years, and it's a secular song. Simply says, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's what's happened with a lot of people. They've been looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They've been looking for it in somebody else. It's right here. It's inside you. If you're not happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy with anybody else. It's a state of being. It's not a place to reach. It's a state of being. It's not a place you reach. It's who you are. Happy. 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 But if you start looking out for it, you won't find it. You can't find it out there. It's here. Down in here. It's being able to look at a child, smile, and know that's the greatest joy in the world. It's all here. Not out there. Right here. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. This is so simple, but believe me, church, it's so profound. It's here. It's right in here. It's right in here. And what I want to encourage you today is we receive this. Because of this and this, you got it. For no other reason. Because of this and this, it's inside you now. Not out here, out there, right here. Lord, we thank you for the body that was broken, bruised for us. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. We have it. And when I have a shortcoming, I have a misstep, I have a missed thought, we have the blood. And he says, you're forgiven. And let's start anew. Let's start anew. Man, aren't you glad? You can start anew every single day.
You may be seated. And our ushers can begin coming and receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. We are only about 3 weeks away from Doc Holiday Festival. Some of you may be wondering, why is Eagles Way involved in a Doc Holiday Festival? We saw it as a way that we could help serve our community. This festival is bringing literally at least 400 people from out of town into our community spending their money. So we are bringing thousands of dollars of revenue to our community by helping to be a part of this. I am still in need of volunteers for that weekend. I have got it broken down into two-hour time slots. You guys can go ahead and receive the or pass out the offering buckets while I'm talking. Into two-hour time slots. And so whether it's Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, or Saturday evening, whatever, I can accommodate your schedule, I promise. Make it very easy. It can be as simple as moving a little gate so that the carriage rides can get by. Or it can be welcoming people as they come through the gate, or it can be selling armbands at a concert. So I can put you to work. Come and see me. Or put it on your connection card that you'd like to volunteer, and I will contact you. So we thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in being here on Sunday mornings, because your presence is important. Your faithfulness in giving of your tithes and your offerings and alms, for the betterment of the kingdom, because it touches people's lives. Father God, Lord, I thank you that we can come and we can give our first fruits, our talents. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is giving this morning, Lord, in children's ministry. Bless them, Father, Lord, with abundant blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I guess we are not going to do worship this morning. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You are dismissed.